Welcome to Benefit from the Bible, the Bible teaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. For a printed copy of this sermon and many others, go to BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. God bless your listening. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, God has blessed us with life in our bodies. He's given us life through Jesus Christ, and he has given us, I believe, many relationship opportunities in our lives. God doesn't want us to be by ourselves and living on an island somewhere. God wants us to be with other people. He wants us to be in relationship with other people. As we gather today, I'm thinking about especially the relationship between Jesus and us. And then being Father's Day, I'm thinking about the relationship between fathers and their children. As you think about the relationships like that or even others in your own lives, what would you say? Are those relationships the best they can be, or are you maybe holding back in certain ways? And if you would stop holding back, those relationships could be even better. Going to our text now, I say in part one, don't miss this golden opportunity. So the relationship we're going to talk about first, this is the most important one of all. So we have Paul along with Timothy, and they're writing to the Christians living in Corinth. But these Christian people, they're in Christ, but the relationship is not the best it could be. And for some of them, they're probably not even in Christ. So Paul is trying to write in a very urgent manner in order to encourage these relationships. Notice what he writes here, picking up in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with God, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For the Lord says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul is really carrying over from what he said in chapter 5 toward the end, right over into chapter 6. Toward the end of chapter 5, he said, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. So in verse 1, he said, we appeal to you. In chapter 5, he said, we implore you. And the idea is he is strongly urging the people, as strongly as he can, to not receive the grace of God in vain. So what does that mean, to receive the grace of God in vain? We might even say, what is the grace of God? Well, the grace of God is God loving us to heaven, even though our sins make us deserving of hell. So if you receive the grace of God, you have heaven. And if you receive it in vain, if you reject the grace of God, then you end up in hell. So receiving the grace of God is a very important reality. Let's go to the words of Dr. Martin Luther on this topic. He wrote, to accept the grace of God in vain can be nothing else than hearing the pure word of God in which the grace of God is offered and yet remaining apathetic and not accepting it, remaining as one was before. So Luther was not talking about people who did not hear the pure word of God, but he's talking about people who basically did nothing with the pure word of God. So I believe that here at Bethlehem, that word of God is going out. And my greatest prayer for all of us is that God would enable us to hear it in such a way that we would respond to it unto eternal salvation. God is the one who has to enable that, but as God's word goes forth, God is working through that word, and God wants to bless everyone in that manner. Again, Luther said, people can hear the word, but they can remain apathetic. Kind of a so what kind of an attitude. Okay, I'm a sinner, so what? Jesus died on the cross, so what? That should never be our attitude, but some, though, hear it and respond in that way. Or maybe they hear it and they're like, oh, that's really a wonderful thing, but I'm kind of busy right now. Or it doesn't quite fit into my life right now. Or for some other reason, they're not going to accept it right now. They're not going to receive this great blessing right now. Did you notice how Paul was writing? He said, now is the favorable time. Now is the day of salvation. He is strongly saying to the Corinthians that they should not put this off at all. Now is the opportunity. I thought it was interesting, too, what he said. He talked about people remaining as they were before. So here's a person who is doing okay in the world, not knowing Christ. So that person hears the good news of Jesus Christ, and he doesn't push it away, doesn't really do anything with it, and now you come out the other side, and the person is basically the same. There's no change. What did Paul say in chapter 5? He said, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. He wants us to know that when we receive Jesus Christ, that's going to make a radical change in our lives. That's going to change how we think, how we speak, how we act, how we interact with others. That's going to change everything about us when we receive that good news in Jesus Christ. I pray that you can see that change in your own lives. Let's go through this section I have where I'm trying to identify the need, the offer, the response, and the rejection. So what is the need? The Bible says all have sinned. The Bible also says the requirement for heaven is no sin. What we should conclude is the fact that we need Jesus Christ. So we have the need. What does he offer? Even though we have sinned, God continues to love us, and because God loves us, he sent his Son to take away our sins. So that's the offer. How are we going to respond to that? Well, we need Jesus Christ. God has given Jesus Christ. God has given us the ability to receive Jesus Christ. So I pray that all of us have already done so. If you haven't, today is the day of salvation. And even if you have, what is vital then is to continue in Jesus Christ. How many people have known him, and yet now today, maybe they no longer know him? So it's vital to receive him once and then to continue in him day by day. What about the rejection? It's going to happen with some. It has happened with many. Dr. Kretzmann wrote, if the time of grace is neglected, there's a window of opportunity, if you will, but maybe the window is closing. So once the window closes, that's it. Now, those things are all in God's hands. We don't know the details about that, but God wants us to know that there are opportunities he presents, and we should not let them go by. So again, he says, if the time of grace is neglected, if its invitation is ignored, it may soon be passed forever and be followed by a time of wrath and condemnation. There are many things you don't want to miss out on. If you miss the bus, you might have to walk. If you miss supper, you might have to go hungry. Those aren't pleasant things, but if you miss out on Jesus Christ, that's going to be an eternity of regrets. God doesn't want that for anyone. That's why God has given us Jesus Christ. So I conclude here in this section, let's not hold back. Let's trust in Jesus now by God's grace. Let's grow up in him. And then for fathers to children and children to fathers, let's not hold back in loving each other and spending quality time together. What more wonderful thing could there be than to have an earthly father who is a godly man, who is a Bible-believing man, who spends time in this book day by day, and then spends time with his children day by day in order to impart God's word to them. What a wonderful thing that would be, and certainly those children would be blessed in knowing how to respond back to their father, and those children would be blessed in knowing someday how to teach their own children about these important things of God. Let's go on to the second part. In this section, Paul and Timothy are trying to lay out for the Corinthians how far they are going in order to be a blessing to the Corinthians. Now, if you read it real quick and didn't think much about it, you might say, well, Paul and Timothy, they're kind of bragging about all these different things that they have done, about the great lengths they have went to in order to be a blessing to the Corinthians. I don't really think that they're bragging here. I think they are trying to encourage the Corinthians to give a God-pleasing response to all that God is doing through Paul and Timothy to be a blessing to them. So they shouldn't just be receiving all these blessings with no response or with no good response, but rather they should understand the great blessings coming their way, and they should be giving a very significant response. Let's take a look here. Verse 3, it says, "We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way." So in letter A here, they're going to tell how they have commended themselves by great endurance. And these are things that they endured that were afflicting the bodies of Paul and Timothy. But yet, for the sake of the Corinthians, for the salvation of the Corinthians, they were willing to endure these afflictions. So what did they endure? They endured afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. They endured all of that in their bodies in order to be a blessing to the Corinthians. And then they also go on now in letter B. So as servants of God, we commend ourselves in these ways. So these are qualities that Paul and Timothy expressed to the Corinthians. These are, in a sense, godly qualities, which would be a blessing to the Corinthians. So they approach them with purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. So these are all things, again, from Paul and Timothy to the Corinthians. Sounds like a pretty one-way street so far, doesn't it? All this stuff from Paul and Timothy to the Corinthians. And then in letter C, we have another grouping of things. We really have three different things here. So they say, as servants of God, we commend ourselves by truthful speech. In other words, not lies, but by truth. And the power of God, not by the power of men. We also commend ourselves to you with weapons of righteousness, namely word and sacrament, for the right hand and for the left. We also commend ourselves to you through honor and dishonor, through evil report and good report. So though it was very difficult for Paul and Timothy, they continued to plow through all these difficulties for the sake of the Corinthians, that they would know Christ, that they would grow up in Christ, that they would continue in Christ until the day that they died. And then they go even further, and they talk about how they were treated. Notice what it says in letter D. We are treated as imposters. Thus we are treated as people who are not true servants of the Lord, and yet we are true servants of the Lord. We are treated as people who are unknown by the world, and yet at the same time we are well known by our Lord Jesus Christ. We are treated as dying by the many who are trying to end our very lives, And behold, by God's grace we live. So apart from the grace of God, Paul and Timothy are saying, we should have died a long time ago. So many people are trying to kill us so the gospel does not go to you. But we want the gospel to go to you so much that we are willing to risk our lives over and over again so that you can know God's truth. We are treated as punished. We're going to come to this in the near future here, where Paul talks about having this thorn in the flesh. So though they were punished, they were not killed. Though their lives were difficult, they continued to live to bring the good news to the Corinthians. They go on to write, we are treated as sorrowful. So think about Paul and Timothy. Think about the list I've already read to you. They could be overwhelmed with sorrow because of all the troubles in their lives. But yet, at the same time, though they had all the troubles, they were rejoicing in their Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say, we are treated as poor. People looked upon us and said, look at those guys. They're wearing rags. They don't have anything. They don't have the wealth of this world. And yet, what were they doing? What was God doing through them? God was using them to make many rich for eternity in Jesus Christ. So the wealth of this world, a great blessing, the wealth of eternity, far, far more important. We are treated as having nothing of this temporal world. Again, people saw them as being without so many things, and yet Paul says possessing everything, so they had everything which is really, truly important. As I think about what's written in this section here in verses 3 through 10, I can't say the same as Paul and Timothy in regard to my ministry here. In other words, how God has been working through me to you, I can't say the same because they suffered and they gave up so much. But I hope you would have some idea that I have tried really hard and plan to continue to do that, that you would know God's truth more and more, that you would grow up in Jesus Christ more and more, and that you would be blessed not only in this life, but especially that you will be blessed forever through our Lord Jesus Christ. Finally, in the third part, we see Paul expressing a full desire for a two-way street. So far, Paul and Timothy have laid out all the things that God is doing in their lives in order to be a blessing to the Corinthians, but you're going to see in a moment how Paul is basically being up front with the Corinthians, but he's doing it in a kind and fatherly way, and he's letting them know, hey guys, there's a whole bunch coming from us to you, but we don't see much coming back to us in return. Notice what he says here. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as a father to children. Widen your hearts also. So he wants it to be a full two-way street. Paul was calling them to change. Paul was calling them to be different in significant and wonderful ways. So I have four things I want to go through here real quick at the end then. So how is God calling for change, for difference in a good way? First of all, from Jesus to us. So think about what he did. He went all the way to remove our sins. So in response, we should fully trust in him, and we should also, day by day, try to fully live for him. As he went all the way for us, in response, we should go halfway for him. Doesn't that sound odd? He went all the way for us, we should go like only one quarter of the way toward him. Isn't that how we tend to be, though? God wants us to be all in. He went all in for us. He wants us to be all in honoring him, living for him, trusting in him, all that kind of stuff. Letter B, what about me to you? As I try to do whatever I can to eternally bless you, and that happens through my studying, writing, preaching, teaching, visiting, and other things as well. So I ask you to gladly and faithfully respond to whatever I'm doing toward you that agrees with this book. If it doesn't agree with this book, forget about it. But whatever does agree with this book, though, I encourage you to be glad and to be faithful in fully responding. How about fathers to children? As the Lord has entrusted fathers with children, so they should love them by providing for them, by teaching them, and especially, it's good if a dad teaches his son how to fish. But what is even better, if a dad, a godly dad, is teaching his son about God's holy word, that's even better. And what about children to fathers? Since the Lord has used our fathers to give us life and to bless us in countless ways, let us love them by honoring them, by respecting them, by helping them according to their needs. Since we are all holding back in some way, let us better understand God's truth. Let us be sorry for our sins. Let us be sorry for all the ways in which we have been holding back. Let us rejoice that we have God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And let us then finally stop holding back in our relationships. Let us have a full relationship with Jesus Christ. May it be a full two-way street. May there be a full two-way street between fathers and children, husbands and wives, and all kinds of other relationships. May God grant his blessings to us so that our lives might honor him. And all God's people said, Amen. Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, give us a try at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma, Ohio. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, study at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. These are other ways to connect with us. Visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. Subscribe to our podcast by searching for Benefit from the Bible. Visit us on Facebook by searching for Bethlehem Lutheran Church Parma. Call us at 440-845-2230. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.